Hello and welcome to Circling the Cup, San Jose Sharks podcast, episode number 109. And we know you missed us, but guess what? I don't really think you missed anything with the Sharks because this is probably going to be known as the Groundhog's Day podcast. You will probably listen to it and go, haven't I heard this before? And yeah, you have the last, like, seriously, 3 or 4 weeks. It's just different teams, guys. It's just different teams right now. I'm Alex. Here with me, as always, Ben. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, hi. The Sharks are not up.
And of course, early in the morning in Sweden, someone who is up, the Honorable Colin. How you doing, Colin?
Our first snow melted. I wanted it to be a snowy winter.
Oh, that's so great. I love being in the Bay Area where I don't have to worry about that whatsoever. Although I will say it has been very windy and rainy here on the coast. So we're getting some semblance of season. But anyways, this is a Sharks podcast, not a weather podcast. And we are not meteorologists. I was going to say Sharks experts, but I don't even know that I would agree to that. So here we are, right?
Way to sell the podcast, Alex.
Hey, man, marketing 101. That's not a part of it. We predicted at the beginning of the season, and I'm not trying to do this whole like, I told you so thing, but we got to have something to talk about this podcast. We predicted that the Sharks would kind of hover around, you know, mediocrity and 500 until, you know, pretty much December. Now, here's the good news, people. That's not really where they are, technically. They are kind of still dealing with this, you know, on again, off again mediocrity. And the frustrating thing about being a Sharks fan, I think, up to this point is even if you saw this coming, it's the cycle that's maddening, because it really seems like the Sharks' successes and issues are staying pretty consistent, constant. Like they're not really shifting. Yes. The bright spots have been bright spots. Yes, the low spots have been low spots, but that's kind of been the tale. So I don't know, guys. I mean, how are you feeling right now? And before we do that, actually, Colin, why don't you go? Because we're about to get like a 25-minute rant from Ben. I know my co-hosts.
You do the 25-minute rant, and I'll just drink coffee.
Wow, it's late there. Why are you drinking coffee, old man?
I'm not. It's beer.
Well, fuck you. Here we go. This team has not grown, changed, shaped, like reshaped or adapted itself in like 3 weeks. Or here's my measuring mark. This team has not made any sort of interesting or meaningful changes to how it's running itself since it split up Carlson and Vlasic on defense. And like I love that we saw Thornton go down to the third line and seems to be sticking there.
And by the way, I want to point out that he seems enthusiastic to be sitting there. And there was a point in time where I think a lot of people were like, oh well, you know, would Joe even, you know, take a quote unquote demotion, yada yada. He just seems to want to play.
Yeah, so like for Thornton, I feel it's really easy to forget that the guy seems to be a pretty smart cookie despite being a goofball. Yeah. Because it is so clear, like he has fallen off a cliff. The problem is Thornton fell off a cliff while standing on Thornton Mountain. So now he's sort of fallen down to the land of mortals, and everyone's like, well, no, he's still really good. Like, for him, this is not very good. And it's not like he's not bad. I don't want Thornton gone. But you can just see where he is taking a big, slow step back. And there's moments where he just fumbles the puck a little. He doesn't have the plan set before the puck gets to him. And he has to take that moment. And that's super uncharacteristic for him. And I feel like, you know, along with Thornton sort of losing a step in his play, the team is just, it needs to be organized. It needs its players to be shifted in a way that makes sense. And we're just seeing the same sloppy ball of overcooked spaghetti get thrown against the wall over and over and over again while DeBoer hopes something sticks. And it just, it's kind of hard to watch. I mean, except for playing Russian roulette with our goalies and seeing which one is going to provide us the more entertaining experience game to game, you can kind of predict how every shift is going to go. And I like seeing that our power play is starting to get together, or more specifically, I like not seeing Vlasic on our power play. But DeBoer needs a new script, or whoever it is that's setting the tempo and the focus of the team needs to just get out of the way. They need to stop talking, let somebody else make some decisions for a little bit, and let this incredibly freaking talented team try out some new looks, because it's not like we're missing a piece anymore.
Well, actually, real quick, before you go on your rant, Ben, I can hear that wind-up coming.
I can hear it smoothly.
I do want to point out one thing about Thornton. You know, regardless of where your opinion of what Thornton is now or where he should be, the one thing that I will point out as a positive is that, you know, as he slid down or as he's recovered from his injury, depending on how you want to frame it, he's finding chemistry with some of the younger players.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And what's great about that is, you know, you see players that, you know, either because of age or injury or whatever, slide down and don't find that or can't maintain that. And for a guy in his style of play, you know, look, he's not a shooter. I mean, he could be a shooter because he can, if you can stick handle that well and you can pass that well and you can do those crazy time warping passes, you can shoot a putt. Yeah. But, you know, considering he's a pass first and assist type of guy, QB type of guy, you know, to have, you know, speedy wingers and to have chemistry with those guys, I mean, I think in some respects, given the outcome with what he's been through and what occurred this season, kind of with the, you know, the knee recurrence, it's not all bad there. Like,
no.
he's still able to contribute. Is he a first line superstar at this point in the season? No, not at all. But I'll tell you what, if he's going to sit there and lift guys like Sorensen up, great. You know what I mean? Like, we need playoff Sorensen like all season long. And if we're going to get that because, you know, Jumbo is passing him pucks, great. I'll take that. Like,
yeah,
no complaints there.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like,
he's expensive for that.
Oh yeah, but he needs to take a price cut next offseason. But Thornton only looks bad in comparison to previous Thornton. Like, I have complaints about his play, but they're only because I know I've seen him do so much better.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a false expectation, though, right? I mean, you can't compare a guy who's older and has had two knee surgeries and still has, you know, a little bit of an issue with his knee or a recent infection with his knee, and look at him and go, well, he's not top tier. Obviously, he's not previous Thornton, right? And he's
sure.
He's not going to be.
Yeah,
so that expectation's got to go away.
Well, okay.
I mean, he's also 90 years old, guys. Come on.
No. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying, Colin. But like,
that's a bit of
your comparison, right? Because
okay.
When 900 years old you reach, let's see how many assists you get.
Yeah. So
yeah, when was the last time you got an assist on goal, Colin?
Hey, man, you've been playing my assist goal every night on your PS4. So
true.
But again, like, you're right. This is a really hard point to be making because I think he's great. Like, I love him on the third line. I would like him with some different line mates, but that's because I think he can play with everybody. I think he creates opportunities and scoring chances no matter who he's on the ice with. I think he's still this amazing player that you can build plays around and who can carry those plays. But yeah, he's older, he's slower, he has no knees. Watching him play is giving me an interesting insight to just how much knees factor into hockey.
Oh, man, huge. Seriously.
You can see his shots and his passes. You can see those that little stutter that's now in his game where you can tell he's shifting the weight to one of the knees and you're just like, oh.
I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see as someone who plays hockey is when you hear people talking about hockey players' legs or leg injuries just in the spirit of skating. Because while, yes, that is a crucial part of it, man, that's also how you generate a lot of your shooting power, a lot of other stuff. Like, that's, you know, legs are crucial for a sport where you are on skates.
Well, there was a play in, I think it was just the last game with Toronto, and Thornton got the puck near the slot, like not slot center, but just to the side. And you can see him try to transition his weight to get a quick shot off, and he just couldn't. He was just cement footed there for a second, and he just put the pass back or put the puck back into the cycle, you know, didn't take the shot. And it's like, there's the knee injuries. There's the thing where, you know, 2 years ago, Thornton would have just quick shifted, put a shot on, maybe a rebound, maybe picked a corner, you know.
I would have passed it, but yeah, sure.
Well, okay. There, the Thornton who chose to shoot there would have gotten the shot off. And I think with Thornton's, you know, change in his play and with the team just sort of settling and fitting around Carlson and trying to find itself. Timo just coming up like a monster, a bunch of our young guys just coming up and really trying to establish themselves. We're doing nothing about it. Like we're these players who are extremely talented are getting no help. And it's like in our online chat during when I was watching the Toronto game, it's hard to watch well-coached, well-structured teams execute on their plans and execute on their playbook when we so clearly don't have those things. And you see our team succeeding through a lot of individual effort and a lot of players trying to, you know, find what works within their line and put it together. And when you have players like Couture and Hurdle who are just monsters out there, it's easy to fool yourself into thinking you've got this team that's being really well coached because, you know, look how motivated and aggressive these guys are. And I think that's just who we have as players. We have a remarkably talented team. It's just they're coming out doing the same trick over and over again. And Ben, as the educator, can explain to us what doing the same action over and over again.
Are you saying that because you can hear him shifting through the mic and winding up for his rant? Go.
But more or less, I've been trying to figure out how to work something in that might diffuse Ben a little bit.
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure I'd agree that this team looks like it's very motivated right now, to be perfectly honest.
So let me good catch. Quantify that statement. I think a demotivated team doesn't put goals up.
They're not really.
They're putting up 1-0.
I think I need to speak on behalf of the fan base for a moment because I'm utterly confused as to what this team is right now. After the last week.
Last week?
Obviously, as Alex said when we began the podcast, we predicted this team would struggle out of the gate because it's not easy to integrate new players and make up for ones you've lost and whatever. But at this point, I'm not, and we've been saying, as Alex said all along, that, hey, don't worry, guys, December. It'll be better in December. I'm not convinced because I don't think this team is listening to this coaching staff, and I don't think this coaching staff knows what it's doing.
Ben. Alex was talking to Nylander. He wasn't talking to us. He was saying for Nylander, it was going to be better in December.
No, so I didn't. Continue. I agree with what you're saying. I was definitely not saying that. No, I mean, yeah. Sorry, Ben, I'll let you finish. But just to clarify, I was saying that up until maybe a couple weeks ago. I totally agree with you. And I know exactly where you're going to go, and I want you to go. But I just want to clarify that I am not saying
it'll be better in December. I'm not saying that we have been saying over the last few weeks that it looks like things will get better by December because we're not seeing any progress.
Right.
This team is making zero progress. If you looked at this team as it is today and compared it to the team we saw in October, almost nothing has gotten better. Mm-hmm. Defensive structure has been broken since the beginning of the season, defensive structure is still broken. The pairings are broken. The play decisions are broken. The coach's brain is broken. And there's no sign that anything's going to get better. Yeah. At least from my perspective. And I think most Sharks fans watching this team are as frustrated as I am, because as Colin says, when you look at this team, it feels like it is a more talented team than is showing up on the ice.
I don't think it's a matter of feels like it should be.
Period. Well, they have got me wondering if we are high as a kite as to how talented this team actually is. The way they've performed over the last 2 weeks, and that there seems to be no answer and no response to the coach being a baby man and saying, it's like Groundhog Day out there. Like players have to take responsibility for this.
Oh, yeah. That is the cry of
you got a coach,
rudderless leader. Yeah,
yeah. You got to lead. You got to coach.
I mean, okay. I'm actually a little disappointed, but I was expecting a bit more rage. The
new bunny rabbit is working. I think Ben's exhausted of having.
I think I am. I think because, here's the thing, right? Like, if we go through the roster and we look at who is playing well versus who isn't, you know, Joe Pavelski, I think needs to, you know, this is something I said on Twitter last week. I think Pavelski needs to be recognized for being one of the few very consistent performers this year. And a guy who's almost 90 years old himself, right?
I think what he produced over each year of his career has changed over the years, but I think the guy has been the most consistent Shark his entire career.
Yes, but my point being that he's getting older and could be excused for falling off a cliff. And, you know, first half of last year, whether he was hurt or not, he was not great. He did come on in the second half, was given more responsibility when Jumbo got hurt. He sort of was in the same position for a bit this year when Jumbo got hurt again. And now he is essentially, you know, carrying a line, right?
Yep.
And unlike his line mates, he's producing. And yes, I'm looking at you, Evander Kane, when I say unlike his line mates. At least to the extent that we need the production to happen. Logan Couture has been a boss. Timo Meier, obviously, as Colin pointed out, has been a boss. Brent Burns has been producing points for both teams, but that's what you expect. and Hurdle has been good when he's been healthy. You know, I think part of the frustration here part of what is leading to frustration here has also been the variable health of a couple of these guys. Meyer's going to miss tomorrow's game. Hurdle's been in and out of the lineup. Logan has been hobbled a bit, but not missed games. And then, of course, lineup choices. Suomela, who hasn't deserved to be benched, has been on the bench at least, you know, a couple times and on, right? But, you know, Carlson has been great if you look at the underlying metrics, meaning Erik Karlsson, obviously, because Melker Carlson is a boat anchor. but it's not quite delivering what the team, I think, was looking for. And I don't think that's on Carlson per se. I think he's doing everything he can. I maintain, and I've been saying this all along, that DeBoer's the wrong person to coach this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
It's not built to be the type of team that DeBoer knows how to deal with. And he's clearly frustrated with the team himself. I don't blame him, because they're not playing the kind of hockey that he wants them to play. They're not listening to him. They're not fixing things. They're not doing what he asks. And I guess what I wonder is, are we going to get relief from this? Because the players aren't going to budge.
Nope.
At this point. Well,
they're especially not going to budge with players like Thornton and Pavelski and Couture especially. I mean, we often mention how his sunny disposition just adds to the fun and quality of the bad times. And Logan, since I know you're an avid fan, I just want to say you're awesome. I love you. Just, you know, smile. Nobody expects you to have good teeth. And I have some problems in like making bold statements about what a relationship in the locker room is like, especially within like between the coaches and the players. I do think DeBoer is signaling outwards that he like, this is the first week where I've agreed with you guys that he's lost the team. Like, he's lost their ear. He's in the McClellan sunset time, and, you know, we're just suffering through it until the franchise, the organization, clues in and does something about it, which unfortunately is going to be too late because the opportunities to do something smart about it have already come and gone.
Well, but here's the other thing you got to consider as far as why they're not going to do anything about it, because there's two ways to look at this, right? There's a logical way, and then there's the what I would consider the common way, right? The logical way is you look at it and you go, our goal is to win a Stanley Cup. And we think we have the players, or our organization, Doug Wilson at least, thinks we have the players to do so, and we're not performing. Therefore, something needs to change, and likely in this case, it's the coach.
I mean, is it though?
The coaching staff, I would argue it's the coaching staff personally. But
yeah, me too.
But the other side, the other way to look at it, which is, you know, the common way, I would say, is you look at it and you go, yeah, but the Sharks are, you know, bouncing between third and first in the division, and they're 12-9. They're not like, you know, like, and I think that more than anything is what's going to kind of keep this coaching staff going longer, more than it is there's not something else available, or, you know, or the timing of the change. It's one of those things where you know, the Pacific Division sucks. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Like, the goal differential, it's bullshit. Like, this is not a good division. Sorry, there's some good players in it. Some of these teams have moments of glory. Not good. But ultimately, you know, you look at the Sharks, and they're still in contention. Technically, they still have time to work it out. And again, I'm not saying that's what I think they should do. And to kind of step back for a second, you know, the reason why I think it's the coaching is, yes, there is the possibility that this is just not the right combination of players. The chemistry isn't there. But I find that a little hard to believe, because not all that much changed. Now, yes, we got Erik Karlsson, and yes, you know, there have been, you know, a couple of players popping up and popping down. But, you know, the problems that this team has have been readily apparent for a while, and they haven't been adjusted. Right. And I don't really think the players, I mean, look, these are professional athletes, okay? Maybe a couple of them. And I'm not saying on our team, but just in the general sphere of athletes. Maybe some of them get stubborn and are like, I'm only going to play it one way. But if you watch sports long enough, you see a lot of instances where this happens. There's a coaching change, and all of a sudden there's this revitalized energy because there's something new and there's a new system and yada, yada. And these guys are good enough players. We have a good enough roster, at least on paper, to indicate that they ought to be performing better than they're performing. It's not just that they're not good players, which is thankfully not the, you know, a problem that a lot of other teams have.
But I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, we all know, and most of the Sharks fan base recognizes, I think, at this point, that DeBoer is a net minus for this team. Yeah.
Yep.
Whether it's because the guys have tuned him out, or he just can't figure out how to utilize the parts that have been given to him by Doug Wilson, as you say, the players know. Right, the players understand when they are not being groomed to win. They won't say it. They never say it publicly, right? But they know. They're not dumb,
right?
Right. This team is not a dumb team. Guys like Pavelski and coach. I mean, I honestly think there is a way we can see that these guys know they're fucked, because we've seen a couple times this year where Pavelski has one message that aligns with the team, and Kocher's like, well,
yeah,
I'm not so sure.
Oh, you mean like last game?
So there's something going on there, right? And we're running out of time, because this team isn't going to just wake up. DeBoer's not going to pull a rabbit out of his hat. Quenville's not going to be out there forever, and there's not really another coach who makes much sense to try to plug in for either a short or long-term solution here, right?
Right.
But that said, I think we all know that Doug's not going to do that. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with a team that is going to bumblefuck its way to third in the Pacific, and thanks to injuries and poor coaching decisions, like playing Paul Martin in the playoffs last year, he'll make decisions just like that, and the Sharks will be out in two rounds.
Let's see
here. Decisions like playing the shambling corpse of Justin Braun. on a quote-unquote shutdown unit.
Well, let us keep in mind that Sorensen is up for contract this offseason. So let's go and trade him off for, let's see, who's to play? Fair's still playing, right?
I tell you what, while you sit there and roster, man, we got a couple of games we got to get to, guys. Because we can talk about the same topic over and over again, and we will, folks. Trust me, we will. Anyways, we missed last week. We're not going to go through all of those games. We're going to give you a quick summary. Sharks beat the Blues at home 4-0. They then played Connor McDavid, huh? 4-3 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. And then they started a back-to-back, the second of which we will talk about, the first of which being a win at home against Vancouver. Then, where our current week starts, the Sharks would play the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
That game didn't happen.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? My eldest son, I was trying to teach him, he was watching the game, he actually really... He really started to pay attention to hockey in the Golden Knights series. And of course he sees those little intro things with the drums and stuff and he's enamored with it. Now he knows and he'll tell you he is a Sharks fan first, but he likes the Golden Knights because of the drums. And I was trying to give him a geography lesson between Vegas and Toronto, because we have a Toronto game. And when I explained to him that the Sharks had to get on a plane and fly to those locations and play, he decided that he didn't want to watch hockey. He didn't want to go to a hockey game live because he didn't want to have to travel so far because it would take too long. I didn't tell him how close Vegas was. But anyways, the Vegas Knights kind of kicked our asses here with a score of 6-0. Carlson scored, but not our Carlson. That was the depressing part about it. Colin, to your point, I don't know. What would your guys take?
On what? No game happened.
No game, remember?
My take on this was you got, again, stupid play decisions with, you know, in a team that's not playing the way its coach wants it to, getting torn apart by a fast team. It's a DeBoer classic, right? He made decisions that undermined the team's strengths, and then the other opposing team licked its chops and tore them apart.
Yep.
Period. I mean, he got out-coached, and the team got outplayed.
Yep.
And it's 6-0.
Now I know
what the score was.
Now I know what you're thinking. Well, phew, thank God that back-to-back is over. Well, you'd be forgetting about the NHL schedule makers, because the Sharks would have another back-to-back. This time, the first game against Buffalo, second game against Toronto. And let me tell you something. These games were away. Raise your hand if you thought the Sharks were going to beat Buffalo and Buffalo. I don't see any hands up, maybe because it's a podcast, but if your hand was down, that's the smart answer, because for some bizarro reason, no matter who's on these rosters, Sharks really don't like winning in Buffalo. They would lose this one 3-2 in overtime. They actually did kind of bounce back a little bit here. They went down 2-0, and then in the third period, Pavelski scored two goals and brought it up and then went to overtime. But I watched this entire game, basically. My buddy Steve in Buffalo, who's a hardcore Sabres fan, and I feel for him because, it's tough to be a Buffalo sports fan.
Well, that's good this year.
He texted me before, asked me if I thought we were going to win, and my answer was, why would I say yes to that? I'm not really sure. Takes on this game, guys. And mind you, Ben, you kind of hinted at it, this Buffalo team's red hot right now.
Yep. I don't know. Like, it's – I kind of like watching Buffalo play right now, but it's hard to really sink into any of the games where the main takeaway is our players are being thrown against the spiked wall and expected to dance. I don't know how that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's the weirdest.
I need more coffee. I need more coffee. Okay.
It is early.
I am confused. It is dark outside. The bowl makes no sense. I'm getting really sick of watching teams with comparable roster compositions do hockey better than us.
Ben.
I think, I guess there's two things I would focus on in this game. First, if I'm recalling this correctly, because this is the one game this week I also got to watch all the way through, Burns bumblefucked his way around to giving up basically both goals that the Sabres scored in regulation. Joe Pavelski was a monster in the third period to bring the Sharks back, which is great. In OT, remember kind of last year when this team looked really fun in 3-on-3 OT?
Yeah.
Or maybe mm-hmm. it was 2 years ago. Remember when it was really fun? And now mm-hmm. when 3-on-3 OT hits, I'm terrified. Because like in every other mode of the game, the Sharks just look unprepared, unready, and it looks like they're playing pond hockey, pickup hockey, and the other team is actually like executing.
Yeah.
And that's, we saw that here with the terrible, terrible goal. And what was Jones doing coming out of his net there?
Yeah.
What the
Jones has not been making great decisions, and it's starting to get real confusing and frustrating. I don't really know. It's not an injury at this point, but he's just having an off year. Like something's funky here.
But is this the canary? I mean, is this the coach's canary of if you lose Jones, if you lose your goaltending, you never get it back.
It's not goaltending.
Yeah.
The problem Jones is bad.
Yeah.
It has been bad. Don't get me wrong. But the Sharks' problems go deeper than just bad, right?
What I'm saying is, like, when somebody is demotivated, when somebody is, depressed with their situation, there's times when it's like, stretch your finger out that extra inch and you avoid a problem, or you say, fuck it. And I think the majority of players right now are just saying, fuck it. And
right.
That's Jones.
And this is actually something I meant to say earlier, because as we were circling around it, something in response to something Alex said, which is you guys have had bad bosses, right?
Yeah, everybody has.
And you know what it's like to go into the office when the boss has no answers, doesn't know what they're doing, has lost credibility or what have you. You're demotivated. Yep. You don't care. Yep. You execute worse than you would otherwise. This is, something we talked about in McClellan's last year with the team. That's what the team looked like. And I guess that could be what's going on with Jones. I'm not convinced that it's just not an injury, but that's certainly, if we think that Jones's lack of execution is partly because it sucks to be at the office right now, then that certainly explains why the Sharks can't figure out how to prevent a high danger scoring chance to save their lives. I guess the last thing I kind of want to say here, and then we can just get through the games, is if I was somebody consuming Sharks podcast right now, I would be drinking heavily because it's just doom and gloom. It feels like as a fan at the moment, like we can see the Sharks literally pissing away this season before our eyes.
And let's keep in mind, this is not a okay, this season was a wash, but next season we're ready and set to go. It's like, no. This could very well be the only season we see this roster.
Right.
Well, we also need to get out of the habit of burning seasons, because at this point we've had a few too many of these where, over the last, I would say at least 10 years, where we've had a team that was either an interim, a slight interim, because we haven't had like a major interim, I would say, or just can't get it done with the roster and everyone's getting older. Like let's be honest here. We need to win a cup. Like, and it's not just because we want to win a cup. It's because it's gonna start to get real hard to replace these guys. And again, Doug Wilson has been a bit of a wizard, but like, look, you're gonna get to a point where you're like, Jumbo will be gone, Vlasic will be too old, yep. Burns will be too old, Couture will be too old, Pavelski will likely be gone or too old.
Honestly, this is where it boggles my mind that DeBoer's bald ass is still prowling the bench, because Wilson has moved heaven and earth to assemble what should be
perfect team.
not counting, you know, the shambling corpse of Justin Braun, the best defensive.
How do you really feel?
Core this team has had in ever, and and a very strong forward core, arguably one of its best, particularly if better play decisions were being made and Melker Carlson was shot out of a cannon.
Okay, so
Carlson is bad. Melker Carlson is bad and needs to sit. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so does Rattle take his spot?
No, Rourke does. Rourke, there is no heavenly reason that Chartier should not be playing, except that DeBoer doesn't like small centers on his fourth line and will never, ever, ever change how he runs the lineup because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
One last touch on that, because we've on the whole Chartier, Gambrell, Radil. Who else is in that scramble? Suomela. So, like, you guys, or specifically Alex, likes to bring up when we're possibly showcasing somebody to entice trade opportunities. That's the only explanation that makes any sense.
I don't think at this point Wilson is looking at a trade.
Melker's got 3 points. There's no team in the league that is looking for a fourth liner who contributes 3 points and nothing else. I mean, here's the thing. Melker is playing because DeBoer thinks he's good. Because nobody will tell DeBoer Carlson is not good. Carlson doesn't give you anything that you can't get from a rotten opossum corpse.
You guys are really good right now with your metaphors.
it's hard to be inspired with our metaphors when the hockey that we're watching is so uninspired.
I mean, I would sit both Goodrow and Carlson. There's no upside to them playing. Sure, if you want Radil to be one of the three guys on the ice on the fourth line, fine. But it should be some combination of Suomela, Rourke Chartier, and a young guy. It could be Francis Perrin. He's been playing very well for the Barracuda. And honestly should be the guy who's being given a shot on the fourth line here. I mean, he's 17 points in 17 games for the Barracuda. Gambrell's not close to that because he hasn't gotten a lot of games. And Chartier is just being wasted in the press box right now. Meanwhile, you know what you have in Goodrow and Carlson. It is not good enough. There's no reason for either of those guys to be playing. But DeBoer trusts them, thinks they're good. Here we are. It all starts with DeBoer.
Well, guys, we got to move on because we got another game here to get through, and this conversation's kind of just looping around. I hope you don't think that this podcast is going to be all doom and gloom, because you kind of be right. The Sharks don't win the second game of the back-to-back. They lose to Toronto at a score of 5-3. And I got to tell you, man, there were a lot of things that stung in this one, but you know what really stings every single time it happens? When Patty scores. I don't know. It just hurts me a little bit on the inside. Goals in this game from Tomáš Hertl and Joe Pavelski and Melker Carlson, but quite frankly, not enough here. This was not a particularly close game like experience. I mean, yes, you can point to the Sharks drastically shooting the Maple Leafs, but this looked like a team that was on the upswing and a team that couldn't figure out what was going on.
I mean, Hertl was playing like a beast in this game. And I think a couple other players were out there trying to get it done. But it was, I really liked watching Toronto play. I really liked watching a team go out there and be like, hey, look, they have a plan and they're doing it really well.
Yeah, guys, that concludes the games of these weeks. 3 stars.
There are no stars.
I know. Ben's going to give all the stars. Here's what I predict. Ready, Colin? I predict. Nostradamus right here. Ben's third star, Melker Carlson. Ben's second star, Pete DeBoer. And Ben's first star, Justin Braun. Was I right, Ben?
No.
Okay.
I can go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Ben, what's your rabbit's name, your new rabbit?
It's not our new rabbit. It's our rabbit forever. It's Raspberry.
So stars go to Raspberry. Because without Raspberry, Ben would have murdered us all.
Okay.
All right.
Ben, can I go, Ben?
Sure.
Because I would like to give my first star to Joe Pavelski.
Yeah, I was going to do that too.
Because, you know, He did stuff this week, Colin. And then
so did Raspberry.
Yeah, and then I don't know my second and third star. I gotta be honest with you, and it's not because I'm thinking all doom and gloom. I don't know. Just, you know what? Just throw. I mean, Couture had a couple of assists this week. Yeah, I guess Couture. I give a star to Couture. Maybe a star to LeBanc.
We got the maybe stars. And we got
you choose which stars.
We get the rabbit stars and the maybe stars.
What, Ben, your stars?
All right, so my third star is going to go to Joel Quenneville. Please, God, please give me Joel Quenneville for Christmas.
There's no way that's happening.
No, there's no way that's happening.
Did you see the picture of him drinking with Chicago Bears fans?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. Not.
My second star is going to go to, I don't know, I guess Couture can have it because he hasn't died yet.
I love it, I guess Couture can
but
have
the first star is Pavelski because he had a hell of a week and
yeah.
He deserves it.
He continues to be one of the best captains we've ever had. I think he's tied with Nolan.
I love Nolan. I miss Nolan. And you see him at Sharks games all the time these days.
Yep.
Well, guys. I do have some good news for you. And
we have a back-to-back this week.
I know. We actually have two back-to-backs in what we kind of consider week. The Sharks take on tomorrow the Ottawa Senators. That's Saturday in Ottawa. That'll be a little, you know, I think you know what the storyline's going to be. Carlson's home. And then they immediately play Sunday in Montreal. And then they got 2 days off. They're back at home on Wednesday against Carolina. And then Friday, they start another back-to-back because the NHL can't seem to space these things out properly. They start against the Dallas Stars on Friday, and then they play the Arizona Coyotes on Saturday. As of right now, the San Jose Sharks are sitting in third place. They've got 29 points. They're just behind Anaheim with 31 points. But Anaheim has two games, they played two more games than the Sharks. And Calgary, who are at 32 points, who have played an equal number of games than the Sharks. And they are just ahead, or technically tied, but you know they have a tiebreaker, with Vegas, who's sitting at 29 points and a game ahead. And then sniffing behind, really, I mean, when you look at this division, it's kind of close all over the place because Sharks have 29 points and they're in third. But fourth place, Vegas, is 29. Fifth place, Edmonton, is 26. Sixth place, Vancouver, has 25. And seventh place, Arizona, has 24. Really, when you look at it right now, the only team that's not doing anything or isn't really in close contention at the moment is Los Angeles. They're not really in striking distance, at least not in the next week or so. Listen, I want to end the podcast on a happy note. Happy note for sure because I've just had a beer. A happy note. And that happy note is going to be that you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find this podcast on Android platforms. Android people, you know where to go. You can listen to us on the web at circlingthecup.com. You can check us out on Twitter at circlingthecup. And, of course, Facebook at facebook.com/circlingthecup. I will be honest with you. Of all those options, other than the podcast's subscription areas, the most active is usually Ben on Twitter. I will tell you right now, if you don't want to be depressed, maybe don't check out the Twitter for a little while. I'm sorry, Ben. Hey, Ben, you know what, though? You're usually right. You're usually right. I'll give you that much.
Ben, don't listen to him.
Oh no, now he's gonna be right again. That concludes our podcast. Hopefully this team can right the ship somehow or something happens, and I think this December is gonna be a pretty crucial time for this.
Five games in 1 week is tough, guys.
It's tough for sure, and back to backs, which means likely splits at best. So that concludes our podcast, guys. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Get your shit together, Sharks.
Bye-bye.